To the darkness you give hope, you reach. shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Oh yes. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And I'll turn to all the earth, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say. Great are you, Lord. Yes. It's your
sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The land has overcome. And we sing hallelujah. And we sing hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
And we sing hallelujah.
Oh, we got to lift it up in this place. Come on.
And we sing hallelujah.
Hearts to the Lord right now and just give him worship from our hearts. Oh, we bless you. We lift our voices to you, Lord. We lift our hearts and our hands to you, Lord. We declare, Jesus, you are alive and you are worthy of all praise today. We love you, O Lord, and we bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the risen, victorious Lord. And your name reigns over everything, Lord, that stands against us, O Lord. You are our mighty conqueror today, Jesus. Nothing is too hard for you, O Lord. We stand here today confident in your ability to fight our battles for us, Lord. To win for us, O God. To give us the victory, Father, in anything and everything we're facing. We give it all over to you right now. Thank you, and we bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we sing hallelujah to the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. And, he's made a good one, hasn't he? And it's good to be in church with you today and experience the presence of the Lord and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives this morning. Would you take a moment before you're seated to reach out around you and just welcome everybody to the house of the Lord this morning, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We sing hallelujah.
Amen. Well, good morning, First Assembly. We have several announcements that we want to share with you today, so please stick with me as I move through them. We want to, first of all, remind you that our Time Will Heal ministry, their next meeting is this coming Saturday here at the church in room 300, and they will meet at 9 o'clock. You can just show up for that. You don't need to do an RSVP or anything like that. I want to still let you know that there is time to sign up for the 50-plus outing. They're going to be going to Veet's Buffet and the Stained Glass Theater on Saturday, September the 17th. The cost is $25 per person. For all the young adults in the house today, I want to let you know that today at 1:30, they're going to be having a cookout at 2106 Tanner Bridge Road. I don't know whose house that is, but trust if you show up, there will be a barbecue, it looks like, coming from the grill. So look for the pillar of smoke, and that will be your guide. Amen. Pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, something like that. Okay, back on track. Thank you. Who is that, Andy? Okay. I'll talk to you after service. No. Today, we do want to take a few extra minutes share some information and remind you about the Sunday school classes that meet every Sunday morning at 9:50 in rooms throughout the church. We offer a variety of classes for all ages. Sunday school class is not only a great way to dive into and study the Word of God, but it's also a great way to connect and to build strong Christian relationships with other believers. So if you haven't already connected with one of our classes, we just want to be open and honest with you today. You're missing out, and you don't want to miss out anymore. We want to encourage you to check out one of our classes because it will be a great blessing. So if you would at this time, would you direct your attention to the overhead, to the screen? We'd like to share some quick information about each one of our classes. And we'll start with all of our adult classes. In room 100, we have Phil LePage and Kim Dickey. They are currently teaching through the book of Revelation. In room 101, we have several teachers, and we have Jim and Joyce McIntosh, Jerry and Linda Tillinghast, Frank and Mary Dunbar, Joe Don and Kirsten Cheney, and they look at current events through the lens of Scripture. In room 103, we have Shelley Feeler. They have a time of fellowship to build relationships with one another, and then once a month, they have an individual share their testimony. Our young adults pastor, Pastor Mason, leads up our young adults Sunday school class in room 202. Also, Heidi and Jake Neely assist them, and they are currently studying the Beatitudes. Room 204, we have Dr. Richard and Iva Presbury. They are currently studying the book of Love and War on how to find your way to something beautiful in your marriage. And we have a new class that's starting next Sunday in room 205. It's going to be led by Tina Vaughn. And she's going to be, that class is titled Dealing with Those Who Oppose the Gospel. And then room 300 is our Spanish speaking class. It's led by Rosa Loyola and Dania Soca. And they have been studying the power of the Holy Spirit and having a new hope as a new believer and understanding the meaning of baptism. And in room 304, yours truly, look at that chunky face up there, Pastor Bob Nilges. I started today teaching through the Gospel of Mark. We would love to have you, room 304. And then the last adult Sunday school class that we offer is takes place in our church office, and that is led by Brent Nevers. And this is the description that he gave us, so we're going to read it. He didn't think we would read it, but he said, we eat breakfast casserole and donuts. We tell jokes and laugh. If you know Brent, you know that's the truth. And we study the scriptures chapter by chapter on the rise of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. So these are all the adult classes. Now, real quick, I want to share with you the youth and the kids classes. Room 301 and the room right next to them, we're not for sure what that room number is. We weren't able to crack the code in our morning staff meeting, so we'll be working on that. But go to room 301 if you're a high school youth. If you're a middle school youth, go down one additional door to the unmarked room. And those classes are led by Pastor Lisa and Mark Howard, Bob Gilbert, and Andy Nelson, and they are currently studying 1 Timothy. Room 306, it's for our fourth and fifth graders. It's taught by Amber Lindsay over here to my left. Room 307 is second and third graders, led by Rochelle Gilbert. room 308, which is also the fireside room. It's our pre-K and first graders taught by Midge Glavin. And I think I failed to mention in the first service today that we have a Sunday school class for our nursery as well. That's led by Elizabeth Tattershaw and Sarah Tillinghast. I want to make sure I got that right. And so we appreciate all of them. Can we give all of our teachers a hand clap of appreciation? Can we give me a hand clap of her? No, I'm just teasing. Thank you, thank you. So as you can see, we offer a variety of topics and classes to choose from. So we want to encourage you to swing by, check out some of these classes. We've got a list of all of these classes on a little postcard at our Welcome Center. So please swing by, check one out. If you got any questions about it, call me, text me, email me, whatever, and we will get you connected. So that's it. In a way of announcements, if you would you please stand with us once again as Heidi and the worship team comes to lead us.
saved me and buried, he carried my sins far away, and rising he justified.
Everyone, thank you, Heidi and worship team, this morning. And oh, that will be a glorious day when the Lord comes, and we are looking forward to that day and to seeing the face of Jesus one of these days. This world is getting darker and darker, but how many of you know the light of Jesus shines brighter and brighter? And Jesus is alive, and we're grateful for his promises this morning. Look to the Word of God with me, please, in Mark chapter 14, verse number 3, as we continue our series entitled Ready with Answers. We've looked at a variety of questions in this series already. Today we consider this question, why this waste? Why this waste? We'll find it right in the middle of this story from the ministry of Jesus. Mark chapter 14, verse 3. While Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Why this waste? That's a question, but the tone of that question in the gospel story this morning suggests that a conclusion had already been drawn, and the conclusion was, what a waste. Have you ever said those words? Have you ever heard anybody say that? What a waste. When we look at what someone has done, what someone has spent, the effort someone has gone through, and we determine that the end result did not justify the investment made, and we say, what a waste that was. When the disciples, we're going to find out it was the disciples as we look further into this story today, when the disciples asked that question about the woman pouring out her perfume upon Jesus, why this waste? They were declaring that that was not a worthwhile investment for the lady to make. And you know that declaration about the waste of worship is still made today, and people still ask the question today of Christians, why are you wasting your whole life on Jesus? Why would you give so much to the Lord? Why would you spend all your time working for the Lord? You know, we can understand perhaps when you go to church or when you get a little bit of religion, or we can understand being a middle-of-the-road Christian, but don't become a radical, and don't put your whole life into it. After all, that's religion. There are a lot of other things that are important in life. Sometimes people draw those kinds of conclusions about those of us who determine to just give it all to Jesus. You know, I remember the story when I was, the year 2000. I remember the year well. During that year, that's been 22 years ago, we were without a youth pastor for a season of time, and I spent a full year. I gave up the Wednesday night Bible study in the sanctuary, and for that year, I spent the year being both pastor and youth pastor, and I ran the youth services on Wednesday nights. I'll never forget during that season of time, a young man who was so passionate about the call that God has placed upon his life to direct his life into the full-time ministry. He was filled with the Spirit. He was on fire for God, and he had a passion for what God had put in his path. But I'll never forget his mother. In the midst of all of that struggle that he was going through, his mother did her very best to convince him that giving his life to the full-time ministry would be a waste of his abilities, and that instead he ought to plug his life into something that would be far more financially lucrative. And Mom won out. I remember one evening his crying and weeping over the struggle that was going on in his heart as he felt the tug of God so strongly, but his own family was pressing him. That would be a waste of your life. You know, people still think those kinds of things today. So today I want to look at that question, why would somebody waste their life on full-time ministry? Why would a Christian waste his or her life just becoming sold out to the Lord and giving it all to the Lord and working in the work of God and worshiping the Lord with all of their heart? Why would somebody pour their lives into that? Why not just have a little bit of church on Sunday morning and call it a done deal? Why give your whole life to serving and living and experiencing Jesus? That's a good question this morning. So we'll look today at the waste of that woman in the biblical story, and then we're going to talk about the waste of worshipers today as they choose to go a little further and go the extra mile in living for Jesus. Let's first of all talk about the waste of that woman. I put the word waste in quotation marks because we're going to find at the end of this story and throughout this story that when we give it all to Jesus, it is never a waste. It's worth it all to plug our lives into the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we see in the story this woman's worship was called a waste. Note the costly coronation that took place that day. Verse 3 says, while Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. Now, I don't know much about nard, but I know a lot about lard. If I had been Jesus, I might have appreciated more a costly gift made with lard. How about you? But nard was an expensive product for the making of perfume. And this lady, she came in, she poured out her perfume on Jesus. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. She crowned him. She coronated him with her perfume, and the perfume ran down his head. I remember the Old Testament story of the anointing of the high priest. The anointing oil was to be poured from a horn over the head of the high priest so that the oil would run down his head, down his beard, down the borders of his garment, and all the way down to the ground, the anointing oil would run. And he would be saturated with the oil of the anointing. When we think about the story in the New Testament here, we think about this perfume being poured over the head of Jesus and running down upon him. It was almost like a baptism of Jesus with this woman's expensive perfume. Years ago, we had someone who poured a bottle of anointing. We have bottles of anointing oil here at the front. Our practice of anointing with oil is to take a little touch of the oil on our finger and to tap it to someone's head. But I'll never forget the night at the altar that somebody felt the led of the Lord, I guess, to pour the bottle of oil over someone. I don't know whether the person anointed appreciated it or not. But I think about this act of this woman as she poured the perfume all over Jesus, and Jesus was baptized in perfume that day. The very least we can say about that was a radical experience and a very passionate and vibrant gift that was made. The Gospel of John tells this story and tells us it was Mary who was a friend to Jesus. Mary and her sister Martha and their brother Lazarus had a house at Bethany, and they regularly welcomed and entertained the Lord Jesus when he would come through on his way to Jerusalem. And the scripture tells us it was Mary's perfume. Our story here in the Gospel of Mark will tell us today that this was a very pricey perfume, worth more than a year's wages. Now, how many of you husbands, if your wife bought a bottle of perfume that cost a year's wages, how many of you men would get a refund the next day? An elaborate, expensive cost this was, as Mary pours out her perfume on the Lord. A dramatic story. And it was immediately met with complaint and criticism. We find in Mark chapter 14, verse 4, these words. Some of those present. Now, we find out from the other accounts that these were the disciples. The people who were critical here, they were the disciples. One of the Gospels tells us the disciples were led by a man named Judas. Judas led the other disciples in criticizing this woman. Look at what the scripture says. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another. In other words, they got mad over it. Do you know what indignation is? Indignation is a close cousin to indigestion. When you have an aggravated, angry sense in your spirit about something. When you are indignant about something, you are angry and aggravated, and you are saying within yourself, in the words of some of us in mid-Missouri, that ain't right. With sort of a sense of arrogance and judgmentalism, as if you know better than everybody else. Indignation. I found that sometimes people call things righteous indignation where there is no righteousness involved. We think we're right. Certainly, the disciples that day thought they were right. They, you know, they were becoming the religious experts in the room and saying, oh, what a waste of this expensive perfume. Notice the criticism. They said indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Imagine the spirit in the room that day. Imagine the sweet spirit that was immediately met by a bitter spirit that day. And by the way, this woman was performing this act of worship on Jesus, the Son of God. And the disciples decide they're going to criticize the act of worship that is taking place. And they do. They criticize. This is a waste of this expensive perfume. Immediately we hear the correction from Jesus. Verse 6, Jesus says to those who are criticizing her, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her?" And Jesus stops their criticism in its tracks. Friends, how many of you here today want to listen to the Holy Spirit when he would correct you about something? Lift your hand. How many of you want the voice of the Holy Spirit to bring correction when you need it? Sometimes we begin to judge things and judge people and make criticisms and make assumptions. And I believe sometimes the Holy Spirit would say to us, "Leave her alone. Leave him alone. Stop bothering that person." Sometimes, you know, friends, things are between people and the Lord. Are you hearing me? So many times Christians think they have a right to meddle and maneuver and manage other people's situations. And yes, we believe in preaching the Bible truth and we do that. But I want to tell you, sometimes it's just between them and the Lord. And Jesus would say, "Leave him alone, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her?" Especially in this act of worship. Jesus brings immediate correction, and then Jesus brings a commendation of the woman. Verse 6, Jesus says, "She's done a beautiful thing for me." What you think was ugly and inappropriate, Jesus said, "I call beautiful." Think about that. She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured this perfume on my body beforehand to prepare me for burial. And Jesus says, don't give me this thing about helping the poor. You could have helped the poor yesterday before the bottle of perfume ever came into the room. Huh? So sometimes, you know, we want to say all these things. Oh, he should have done this. She should have done this. They shouldn't have done that, when we had it in the power before that ever came into view to do what we ought to have done. And Jesus says, no, don't talk about the poor. You can help the poor. I'm for helping the poor, said Jesus. This has nothing to do with that. In fact, Jesus says, this has been a beautiful act of worship in preparation for my burial. We don't even really fully understand that, except that we know that in Jewish custom, they anointed the bodies of the dead with ointment, with perfumes, with things such as that. And the women would do that after Jesus had died as well. But Jesus says Mary has done this, perhaps without even knowing it, as an offering of devotion to me as I'm about to lay down my life for her. The commendation from Christ, and the story closes with a note about the continuing commemoration. And think about this with me. Verse 9, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Was that prophecy of Jesus accurate? Yeah, here we are in 2022 reading the story. And I believe what Jesus was saying was this. You know, this is a strange story. It seems to be, an elaborate story. But Jesus says, as long as the gospel is preached, this story will be an important story that will teach an important lesson about our relationship with Jesus. So this story bears weight today. Is everybody awake with me this morning? This story bears weight with us today and speaks a word to us. Let me just ask you an honest question today, Christians. Have you done anything elaborate in your relationship with Jesus lately? Have you gone the extra mile? Have you sung an extra song in your devotional time? Have you taken on another ministry opportunity? Boy, it's really quiet in the house today. When was the last time we stretched ourselves in our relationship with Jesus? That's the lesson here. Are we stretching ourselves? Are we going beyond? Are we doing more? Are we being more? Are we pouring out more of ourselves in our relationship with Jesus? Jesus says this story is going to be around as long as the gospel is preached all over the world. People are going to be telling about this woman and the gift that she poured out upon Jesus. You know, this story makes me want to reevaluate my own relationship with Jesus. After the first service this morning, one of our elderly ladies who served the Lord for many, many decades texted me and said that she cried through the whole sermon and rededicated her life to the Lord Jesus this morning. As I think about that woman, and if you were to know who that woman was, you would think with me that there was no need for her to rededicate her life to Jesus. She's as dedicated to Jesus as anybody I know. But as we think about the story that's before us in the pages of Scripture, we have to check out ourselves and say, oh, Lord Jesus, I want my very best to belong to you, Jesus. The waste of that woman leads us to ask about the waste of this worshiper. What about us? Where are we? Are people saying that about us? Do people ask us, why are you so devoted to Jesus? Why are you such a strong, passionate Christian? What are you? And friends, listen, if we just get a little dose of religion, nobody will ever ask that question. This is a religious nation and a religious world in many ways. There are lots of religious people who think about Jesus on Sunday morning and forget about him the rest of the week. If you're not a passionate Christian, nobody will ask this question. But the moment you do something extra, people will begin to wonder about you. What is this? Why such expense? Notice the questions asked by the curious and the accusations about this waste. Why this waste of perfume? Some would ask, why such effort and expense and endurance for Jesus? Why would you spend such effort on your walk with the Lord? Why would you expend so much of your energy in your relationship with the Lord Jesus? Now, why would you endure through all of these things? Some would ask, well, why do you keep on going? Why do you keep on doing? Not just people who are in the full-time ministry, but Christians who are facing difficulties in spiritual warfare and struggles. You know, the reality is some of you are passionate, believing Christians in the midst of a secular workplace, and you have it a whole lot tougher than I have it on a daily basis. I get to work in a church office around Christian people, and you're out there in the war zone dealing with spiritual warfare all the time, and people might ask, why do you put up with that? Why don't you just shut up about your faith? Why don't you just tone it down a little bit and then nobody would bother you? Why such effort and expense and endurance for Jesus? And you know, we think of this in our American context, but I want to tell you, all around the world today, there are Christians who are serving and worshiping and living for Jesus at the risk of their own lives. They are persecuted. They are threatened on a regular basis. They have to hide to have church with other believers. When they go to church, they are at risk of being exposed and imprisoned and all kinds of other things. Many in the world around about us bear great risk in their relationship with Jesus. And you know what? They keep on going and keep on going. Some of them pay a high price. And others might ask, why pay such a high price for Jesus? We ask that. Others ask that. Why such effort, expense, and endurance? And why such energy and emotion and extravagance for Jesus? People might ask that about the woman in our story today. You know, I've seen people over the years who have been just maybe, are you listening this morning? who maybe have just been a little overboard in their worship expressions. Are you here? When I say a little bit overboard, I'm being facetious there, because that's what we're talking about this morning. And we think sometimes, oh, they're just going to be a little too overboard. Well, you know, what are they doing up there dancing like that in church? Well, last time I heard, you know, the dance is a biblical expression in the pages of Scripture, you know. So why do they carry on? Why does she sing so loud? Well, if the Lord had done for you what the Lord had done for her, you might be a loud singer too. Is everybody listening? People say, why so much? Well, we have some answers to that question. Our confident answers are these. One, Jesus has settled the issue of my forgiveness. I was a sinner. I was on my way to hell. I had no way to redeem myself. And Jesus died on a cross, invited me to come, and in one fell swoop washed away all of my sins, declared me forgiven, declared me justified, welcomed me into the family of God, and erased all guilt from my life. You know what? That's enough to keep me shouting for the rest of the day. And anybody here who knows the depth of your own sinfulness will understand that you needed grace and mercy in a big time way. And Jesus settled all of that. What I could not do for myself, He did for me. My sins demanded my own death, but Jesus substituted His death in my place. And now, not because of anything I've done, but because of everything He's done, I stand forgiven. My sins are washed away. They're gone as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against me again. I don't know what to say except hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for solving my sin problem. Jesus has settled my forgiveness. And when I think about the Lord, how He saved me and raised me and filled me with the Holy Ghost and healed me to the uttermost, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Excuse me while I praise the Lord a little bit here. Jesus has settled my forgiveness. Secondly, Jesus has surrounded me with favor and fortune. His blessings just cover and baptize my life. I don't know about you, but I swim in the blessings of the Lord every day. I do. He provides for my needs. He provides me with supernatural commodities like peace and joy. Amen. He comes and His presence is with me. Do you know, friends, let me shock some of you here today. Do you know that throughout the day I can actually feel the closeness and the presence of Jesus? Do you know how priceless that is? Do you know how precious it is, as we said a moment ago, to sense the Holy Spirit speaking to you in the midst of some situation when you're about to take a left turn in some decision and that's the wrong turn, and you sense the Holy Spirit checking you, saying, no, hold up, and you pause for a moment and instead of making the wrong decision, you're able to sense the lead. Do you know how precious that is? The working and the interaction of the Lord in your life on a daily basis, how precious is that? People say, why do you give it all to Jesus? Because He's given all of His to us. He settled my forgiveness. He has surrounded me with favor and fortune. And thirdly, Jesus has secured my future. So that as I look forward, I can be assured that my future is absolutely covered. Several years ago, I was sitting in a presbyter's meeting down in Springfield, and at that time, I was the kiddo in the room. I was the youngest guy in the room. I was probably early 40s at that time. And surrounding the table there were people in their mid-60s and some of them even up into their early and mid-70s, the district presbyter board. And people were visiting around the table before the meeting got started. I caught the words of one of our presbyters. He went home to be with the Lord last year, a dear old friend of mine, Brother Gene Ekstrand. I heard him say to the presbyter sitting next to him, he said, "I don't know exactly what I'm going to do." He said, "My life insurance expired a few months ago." And I heard that conversation. Now, I'm not a natural businessman. I'm a preacher. And when he said, "My life insurance expired a few months ago," I thought to myself, can life insurance expire? And I thought, I'm paying my premium every month. My premium keeps getting a little higher, you know, over time, but I'm paying. I thought as long as I paid the premium, my life insurance would always be there. And here he says to the guy next to him, "I don't know what I'm going to do. My life insurance expired a few months ago, and I'm not able to get any life insurance." Now, he wasn't poor anyway, but he said, "I'm not able to get any life insurance." I thought about that for a moment, and I thought, what I really thought was, man, I'm in jeopardy. I was like probably 42 or something. I'm in jeopardy, you know. I didn't even have anybody to leave life insurance to, you know. I thought, what's going on? Well, ultimately, I looked into the details, ended up switching to some whole life insurance instead of, but the premium then was like 50 times the amount, you know. I thought, here I'm headed toward the future, and I'm not covered. But you know what the good news is today, friends? Whatever happens in this old world, Jesus has my future covered. Amen. Covered. If I die tomorrow, I don't know what'll happen. Well, I do know what'll happen to my life. I do know some of those things. But if I die tomorrow, all of that stuff's going to be left behind. But I want you to know, if I die tomorrow, my future will not be lacking one thing. I will be in heaven in the presence of the Son of God, feasting around the throne of God, rejoicing in the blessings of God, healed and whole in the presence of Jesus. Jesus has healed me and given me the hope of everlasting life. And he's covered my future. You know what peace that gives to me? Yesterday we conducted a funeral service here in the sanctuary. Do you know how precious is the gift of the hope of heaven and eternal life? You may not think about that today. I guarantee you, when we're performing the funeral service of one of your dear loved ones here in the sanctuary someday, you'll be rejoicing in the promise and the assurance of heaven and eternal life. And you'll say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to see my mom one day. I'm going to see my brother one day. I'm going to see my loved ones one day. More than all of that, I'm going to see Jesus one day." Jesus has settled my forgiveness. He surrounded me with favor and fortune. He has secured my future because I've trusted in him. And fourthly, Jesus has sought my friendship and fellowship. Why do I want to come to Jesus and live my life in him and with him and for him? Because he wants me. The Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Lord of life, he wants me. He's invited me in. He has sought me out. He has called me by name. He's brought me into the household. I, who was on the outside looking in, he has given me a place at the table. I'm a child of God. Are you hearing me? I'm a child of God. My past is settled. My present is supplied. Amen. My future is secured. Amen. And I'm on my way. I'm telling you, Look at me. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. Look at me. Point up at me, everybody. Come on, point up at me. I point at you sometimes. Point up at me. Say, man, he's looking blessed today. I got the blessing of the Lord all over me. In fact, if I was in a little better, if I'd lost 200 pounds like Pastor Bob has recently lost, I'd do a little dance right here on the platform. If I try to do a dance, I might fall over and not get, but get up. But I want you to know, I am covered and smothered and cloaked and caked in the blessings of God because of Jesus. So there's nobody else I would rather worship, nowhere else I would rather spend my life, no other way I would rather pour out myself than to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is better to me than anything else I could have in this world. And people say, are you wasting your life on that? Oh my goodness. A waste? No, no, no. Jesus is worth it all. He is worth it all. So my conclusions are these. My conclusions are these. My affirmations are these. I don't know about you, but I will love the Lord lavishly. With all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to love him better. How many of you love the Lord today? Lift your hand, say amen. Look at me. I love the Lord, but I want to love the Lord better. I want to love him better. I want to love him more. There was an old hymn that they used to sing in church. We never sang it. I learned it later. And it's kind of a bleak sounding hymn when you look at the whole thing. But the verse says, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? And I love that line. The rest of the song is kind of a downer, really. And how many of you know there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? Say amen. But from our hearts, we just, when we love the Lord, truly we want to say, I want to love him better. I want to love him more thoroughly. I want him to be blessed in this relationship. After all, I've been blessed beyond measure. I want him to be blessed by this relationship. Are you here today? Sometimes we walk out of that door before service and we pray, Lord, bless the services. Sometimes we pray, Lord, bless us and make us a blessing. And then I want to be quick to say, and I have on many occasions, that Lord, cause us to bless you today. Because Lord, when we gather in a church service like this, there's another element, another component, another edge to it than just our getting the blessing of God. Are you here? And sometimes, look, listen to me, everybody. Look up at me and listen to me. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. Sometimes we come into church and we think, I want to be blessed today. I need a blessing. And if we don't feel the particular blessing that we're wanting, we're disappointed in church. I want to tell you, friends, there's another component to this thing that maybe you haven't considered in a while. We've come into this house to bless him and to worship him. I want to tell you, friends, the blessings will keep coming upon us as we walk with him and live with him. But friends, sometimes our heart needs to just give it a break on the bless me, bless me, bless me. I mean, God wants us to ask. But sometimes our attitude becomes misplaced. Bless me, bless me, bless me. When our worship to the Lord ought to say, Lord, I want to be a blessing to you today. And Lord, if you don't get anything from anybody else in this service, I want you to get something from me today. I want my worship to be pleasing to you, Lord. I want my attitude during the singing time to be pleasing to you, Lord. Huh? I want my participation during the preaching time, I want that to be pleasing to you, Lord. I want every part of this service, Lord, not just to be pleasing to me. I want it to be pleasing to you, Lord. I want to enter into your presence quickly and bless you and worship you in spirit and in truth. I will love Jesus lavishly. I will praise Jesus passionately. Thirdly, I will serve Jesus sacrificially. Because you know the Lord deserves our service to Him and our service on His behalf. I want to do that. Jesus deserves my excellence. Right? If I'm going to teach a class, Jesus deserves that I prepare for that class with all of my heart. Are you hearing me? I got to the church this morning at 10 after 7. I usually get here to the church about 5 after 6 on Sunday mornings. I got here this morning at 10 after 6, and Pastor Bob's truck was in the parking lot. I want to embarrass Pastor Bob. I walked into the office. I said, "Bob, you're here early this morning. You must be teaching this morning." "Yep," he said, I've got to run some things off. I got to get ready. I wanted to say, although he was busy, I wanted to say, "Well, Bob, I thought you spent all day Friday while the offices were closed here working on your new series for Sunday school." Pastor Bob has a desire to be excellent in what he does for the Lord. I testify to that about his ministry in general. I tease him a lot, but I can tell you, Pastor Bob wants to be his best for the Lord Jesus. Isn't that true, Hannah? Hannah, your daughter is back there laughing. Yeah. I want to serve the Lord sacrificially. When there's a need and I feel the confirmation of the Lord that I'm supposed to be a part of that, I don't want to allow selfish things to keep me from doing what I ought to be doing for the Lord and what I really in my heart want to do for the Lord as well. I want to be careful to serve the Lord sacrificially. 1 Corinthians 15:58, which I quote often around here, says, "Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your work for the Lord is not in vain." And besides that, friends, there's only one life. It'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Jesus will last. When we walk into eternity, we're going to be bringing in the things that we've done for the Lord. That goes way beyond what you do in the context of a local church. It involves how you live and serve your family and the lost around you and all of those kinds of things. But I'm telling you, as we look towards seeing the Lord someday, we will be glad if we have served Him well. I will love Him lavishly. I will praise Him passionately. I will serve Him sacrificially. And I will linger with Jesus a little longer at every turn. A little longer. A little more. Yeah? A little more. Right? A little more. You know, we just feel like from our hearts, our devotion to Jesus is just never quite as much as we want it to be. That is the experience of someone who is impressed with Jesus and grateful to Him, right? That's the response of somebody who knows, "I owe everything to Jesus. I owe it all to Him. My life, my future, my eternity, my sanity." Yeah, I owe it all to Him. As the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And friends, our best belongs to Jesus. Whatever others think, right? If the others are looking at your life and saying, "What a waste, pouring out your whole life on that religious stuff." They don't know this is not religion. This is relationship. This is not form. This is substance, right? And so we just say, "Jesus, You are worth it all. Everything I can be and do and say, You're worthy. of it all. Let me ask you today across the sanctuary, friends, how many of you, don't respond with a lifted hand, respond in your heart today. How many of you here today would just simply say, you know what? I want my very best to go to Jesus. My best everything. This is not a sermon about one particular category. This is a sermon about our whole lives. I want the best of my life to belong to Jesus. That's our desire today. Why this way? He's worth it all. Stand, please, everybody. Let's get ready to go to the Lord together in prayer. I want to ask this morning, first of all, can we bow our heads together in prayer for just a minute? Let's bow our heads together for just a minute. Let me ask across the room right now, are some of you here today and you say, Pastor Lowell, I'm in church today, but I've never received Jesus into my life. And today I want to invite Jesus, the Son of God, who died for my sins and rose again from the dead. I want to invite Jesus into my life to be my Savior. I want to begin a new life as a follower of Jesus today. If that's you this morning, while heads are bowed everywhere, just lift your hand quickly, quietly, right where you're standing. I want to invite Jesus into my life today. Please pray for me. Who's here like that? Slip up your hand quickly right now, wherever you're standing. I'm going to look around. I see you in the back there. Who else today? I want to invite Jesus into my life today. Please pray for me. Just slip your hand up quietly right where you're standing. I'm going to look around for just a little bit longer. Anybody else want to join in today? I want to receive Jesus into my life and become his follower this morning. Would you lift your hand up right now? I'm looking upstairs and downstairs all across the room. Just respond quickly, would you please? I want to invite Jesus into my life today. How many would say today, I know Jesus, but I want to move to the next level in my relationship with the Lord? You lift your hand right now. I want to move to the next level. Oh, so many today. I want to move to the next level. I want to invite you today, even this gentleman who lifted his hand originally, he's lifted his hand. Now I know he's a believer. He feels the same compulsion that so many of us feel. I want to move my life to the next level in Jesus. If I'm that worshiper breaking the jar of perfume and pouring it all over Jesus, I want to move to the next level. I'm going to ask you to do something we haven't done in a while. But those of you who've lifted your hand, maybe 100 of you today, and you say, I want to move to the next level in my relationship with Jesus. I want you to step out right now from where you're standing. Make a move toward the front right now. Let's gather into the altars right now for a moment of prayer in agreement right now. That's your heart's desire. I want to move to the next level in my relationship with the Lord. I want my best to go to Jesus. Just come on, come on. Move on that way. Michelle, Whitney, move that direction a little bit. And let's come on and let's crowd in for a moment. I want to move to the next level in my relationship with Jesus. And listen, friends, that may involve some specific category in your heart right now. It may be that you say, I want to serve Jesus in ministry to a new level. It may be that you want your devotional life to rise to the next level. It might be that you want to be a more vibrant worshiper to the Lord. I don't know what it means to you right now, but the Holy Spirit who is speaking to your heart knows what it is. And you know, you may not even be able to put your finger on it, but the Lord knows and the Lord sees your heart right now. As you are reaching out to him, I want everybody who's gathered here just right now for a few moments just to lift your hearts toward heaven, lift your hands toward heaven, and just begin to praise the Lord and speak to him with words of devotion right now. Tell the Lord how much you love him. Thank the Lord Jesus for what he's done for you. Thank Jesus for his presence in your life. Just begin to thank him and praise him right now. Just begin to express your love to the Lord right now. This is all about relationship with him this morning. Jesus, we love you. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we want to love you better, Lord. We want to love you more, Lord Jesus. We want to linger longer with you, Lord. We want to bless you, O Lord. We want to please you. We want our lives to be poured out, O Lord, to you, Lord Jesus. Ah, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Heidi, get that middle song ready. It's your breath in my lungs. I pour out my praise to you. Friends, come on, lift your voices right now. Let's hear the sounds of worship and praise right now in the house. Come on, lift your voices right now in thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. We love you. We bless you, Jesus. We worship your name. We draw near to your presence, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the work of your Spirit, Lord. Thank you for drawing us to yourself today, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You are.
Oh, Father. Sing it out to the Lord. Sing it out to the Lord. Worship the Lord today. Great are you, Lord. discussing that a little bit longer today, and you can stay and linger a little bit more if you want to and sing together. I just pray today that the Lord will stir us to step into a new season of life where we are just raised to a new level, all of us together. Amen? We just rise up another level. You know, this relationship with the Lord, we cannot exhaust the depths of it. You cannot grow spiritually to the point where you have no more room to grow. And relationship with the Lord is inexhaustible. So I pray that we just move forward. That we just step up. We go another mile. We rise up to the next level. In whatever way the Lord is leading us and stirring us in our hearts to do that. So that our whole lives, listen, our whole lives are instruments of worship to Him. Amen. Amen. I love you, congregation. I thank you for putting up with my preaching that sometimes is strong and maybe demanding. Sometimes. I just want us to be all out for Jesus. That's what I want. I want this congregation to be on fire for God. Yeah. So, Heidi, lead us a little bit longer in this. You're worthy of it all. You can stay as long as you want. Worship a little longer if you want. Go as you feel like going today. Let's just continue our lives as worship.